Genesis. The word Genesis means what? Somebody. Beginnings. Yep, beginnings. There's a lot of debate as you go through Genesis as far as history and creation and evolution and all that stuff, but I will tell you that your entire understanding of Scripture depends on your understanding of the book of Genesis, whether you believe it is truth or whether you believe it is theory. An example of conflict or perceived conflict between the Bible and science, I just want to read one thing, if I can find it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21 and 22 says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth." He who sits above the circle of the earth. Back in the book of Isaiah, he spoke about the world being round. Science, up until the time of Christopher Columbus, believed what? The world was flat. Okay? Science couldn't be argued with. The knowledgeable men of the world knew their facts. But until the time of Christopher Columbus came and proved what Scripture said was true, science was wrong. As I go through the book of Genesis, I think there's several points in which we find science is wrong. First of all, science is what? Repeatable experiments, right? The study of events that go on. Repeatable experiments. That's how you prove science. But talking about creation before man was here, you can't do that. It doesn't fit the mold of science. We know about this. We know about creation because that was revealed, perhaps to Moses who wrote Genesis, or Adam before that, how creation laid out. But before we start Genesis, Genesis starts out the very first verse of the Bible. Says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Probably the most read verse in the entire Bible. The Bible historically has been number one bestseller. And people usually read at least the first sentence of a book that they buy. So, probably the most well-known verse. But, what was before the beginning? We think of the beginning because we think in terms of time, space, and matter. We exist within the framework of time. God exists outside of time. So, before time, before the beginning, if you turn to the Gospel of John, the very first three verses, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." Who's the Him they're referring to there that was with God? Jesus. Okay. So according to John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made through Him. Creation is done through Jesus. Let's read through the first 12 verses of Genesis. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." You know, when I was a kid, I had a record that played this story and the different voices. There'd be a boom of thunder, and then God would talk. And I was thinking about that as I'm reading that. I can't mimic it, but it was pretty cool. Verse 6, "Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Have you guys heard the different theories about an old earth and a new earth and all that? Anybody have any teaching on that or any understanding on that they want to share? Okay. Me, perhaps? There's different theories on that, and it's debated. You can read the best commentaries, and it's debated. The reason why it's debated is the Scripture doesn't specifically tell us. I believe as you go through this, there is one of the highly held theories is that there's a gap that occurs between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That there was a gap in there before we saw the creation of man, before we see any life, that angels were created, that the fall of Satan that we read about and the angels that came with him occurred somewhere in that time. We don't have historical record biblically exactly when that occurred. We teach the Scriptures verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and explain Scripture with Scripture. My issue with that theory that there's a gap in between there and that creation is not a literal 6 days. If you turn to Exodus chapter 20 with me just for a minute. Genesis, Exodus, first, next book to the right. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. Verse 11 in that says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It's where we model our 6 day work week after, as the Lord did. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. So that's part of the Ten Commandments. If you turn over a little more to your right to chapter 31 in Exodus, we find where we got the Ten Commandments from. Exodus 31, the very last verse in that chapter, verse 18, says, and when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So, what we just read back in chapter 20 was written by the finger of God, that he created all things in 6 days. You guys have probably heard about different forms of dating, carbon dating, okay, not courting, how things are aged, how the age of things is determined. When I was in school, carbon dating was the big thing, and they would determine how many billions and billions of years it took for something to evolve or to change or to read its current state. As I'm studying Genesis, I have read so many examples of false dating things, how things are, pranks are done or whatnot, but even to baffle the scientists. There was one scientist who formed out of a mold a skull, not truly like your skull or my skull, but humanoid-shaped, kind of deformed a little, like the missing link, maybe, something in between ape and man. and took it. There's some springs, silica springs in Bakersfield, California, where if you take a bone and put it in these springs, for 6 hours, it'll fossilize during that amount of time. Because of the mineral content in those springs, it'll embed itself in that bone and fossilize in 6 hours. So we took the skull to a nationwide science symposium. He was a scientist listed in the Academy of Science, I know that because he almost got kicked out of that group. But he took it and he left that skull in there for 24 hours and brought it to them, presented it, presented the story that he'd been digging in a cave, came across some bone fragments, and then came across this skull and asked them to date it. And the decision of the scientists was that they approximated the date at 90,000 years old. And this guy had made it like a week ago. So when he told them of his hoax, that's when he almost got debarred or whatever. How many of you guys have ever gone? We went on a trip to New York and saw stalagmites and what's the other one?
Stalactites.
Stalactites are like the icicles, right? Okay. Okay, so stalactites, hang on. Okay, and the stalagmites are the ones water drips and minerals form and build them up. When we went through these caves, they would tell us how many billions of years it took to form those things. And that was actually a common form of this dating, to tell how long artifacts that were found in there, how long that they were there. A commonly held belief until the Washington Monument. You guys are familiar with the Washington Monument? It was constructed in 1924. And when they went to firm up the foundation around that and dug underneath it, they found stalactites hung down 5 feet tall from the rain and mineral deposits running down that, 5 feet long. So now they don't use that as a dating method anymore. Just like Columbus, you know, we continue to learn that science doesn't know all that it thinks it knows. Turn back to Genesis with me. This word in the very first verse, before that even, in the beginning, God. God here, the word that's used for God in Hebrew, is Elohim, which may be on my notes over there. But Elohim is the plural form of God, an indication of the Trinity, I think, in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in the second verse, was hovering over the face of the waters. El is the singular form of God, but here they use the plural form of God. And then it's a singular created. So this plural form of God created the heavens and the earth. And the word created is bara, which means created, as opposed to asha, which means assembled. That's what we do when we create things. John is an inventor, a creator, more of a MacGyver, assembler. That's what we all are. When we think we create, we assemble other things and create stuff. The word created here, bara, means created out of nothing. That word bara, I think, is only used 3 times in the entire Word of God, always referring to God himself. Yeah. A-S-A-H. So in the beginning, God created out of nothing the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep meaning the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was. And there was light. Literally, it means light be, spoken into existence, and light was. Talks about dividing light in verse 4. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Divided it, we divide light on a spectrum. You see the multiple colors of light that get chopped up, but there's light that we see and light that we don't see that can be divided on a spectrum. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and morning, what does that indicate? It was already happening before we even see the creation of the sun. Rotation of the earth, right? On its axis. Then God said in verse 6, let there be a firmament. I've got written in my Bible, a limitless expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Some believe that this would be, what's the scientific theory? Continental shift, where the earth was all gathered together and then it broke apart in pieces. Some use verse 6 here as an argument for that. I personally think that if that happened at this time, it would have been a cataclysmic event like the flood. So I think there's more evidence that that probably the division of lands happened during the flood.
Talks about somebody being named after Paran.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact name, but
turn to
after the flood was this guy was named after the earth divided.
Peleg? It's in chapter 10.
And it does say that his name means something divided.
Division.
I didn't mean to put you off track.
No, it's chapter 10, verse 25. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for his days on the earth was divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. J-O-K-T-A-N. That's, I think, where that reference comes from,
yeah,
that you're talking about.
Divided.
Yeah. Verse 7, thus God made the firmament and divided the waters. Firmament there means atmosphere, speaks of the heavens. The word is defined as heaven, and the Bible talks about three different heavens as you go through the scriptures. The first being the atmosphere, what's around us, what we breathe, what's when these kids catch air playing basketball, they're within the atmosphere. The second heaven is the stellar heaven, kind of the universe, when we think of the stars and the planets. And then the third heaven would be the dwelling place of God. So he says, thus God made, verse 7, the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. So there was water below, water on the earth, and a layer of water above, according to the scriptures. That layer was very protectant layer, protected us from ultraviolet light, changed the whole, this dating process. Things would have, what would rapidly age now wouldn't have then because of the damaging radiation. Verse 8 says, and God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. I like that even in the Hebrew language and in creation. It talks about the evening and the morning. Darkness turns to light. That's how they record their days. Verse 9 says, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. This third heaven, this place that God dwells, doesn't tell us where that is either. Some theorize that it's two worlds existing very close together. Sort of not a parallel universe, but literally another world that's unseen, molecularly can crash together, but we don't know. Some theorize that it's in another atmosphere, in another beyond the Milky Way galaxy. We don't know, but kind of cool to speculate on that stuff. There's volumes of books written on this. Then God said in verse 11, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. It was so. God said, "Let these plants, let these fruit trees be," and they were. Born with the seeds within them, which would skew how you would look at the age of those plants, right? If we look at an apple tree now that's 20 feet tall and bears fruit with its own seed in it, we would speculate that it was a certain age. But it tells us that, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. It was created in that state, seed-bearing state. One of the things I read as I went through this, they were talking about you plant a single kernel of corn, and that grows what? An ear of corn, right? At least. But you take that ear of corn that comes from that one seed and plant those, let that grow up, because we're told to populate the earth with seed of its own kind. And then you plant what grows out of that one ear of corn, plant all that. Within 6 years, you could cover the face of the earth with corn as a multiplier. It's kind of like the Braley's rabbits, very similar to that. Verse 12 says, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed, according to its kind." We don't have any of our neighbors next door when I'm talking about herb, right? Okay. "Yield seed according to its kind." If you were here last Saturday, you know what I was talking about. "That yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So that is the first parts of creation as we go through this. Have an open mind as you go through Genesis. And I don't mean open mind, allow yourself to be influenced with unscriptural things or ungodly things, but we've all been exposed to that. And just as we go through this, I'm going to slow the pace down as we go through some of this. And just understand that this is not just the beginning of the Bible, but it's the foundation of our belief. If you believe the first two verses in the book of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," that settles evolution, that settles who created you, it settles all kinds of things. "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was in the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The triune God, God plural, created the heavens and the earth. If you know that, if you don't doubt that, it makes all things sure. It's the foundation of our faith. Something a little different tonight. Everything's different tonight. New building, new midweek service. We haven't done worship on a midweek service, and I don't see any of our worship leaders when I'm around here. But last night, was it last night? The teens had youth group here, and I could overhear worship. So I thought I'd have these young ladies do worship for us tonight. Then we'll have a time of prayer afterwards. So.